Welcome to Massonomics, the world's strongest podcast. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Massonomics. Make sure you go visit Massonomics.com. There you'll find the rest of our powerful content. While you're there, check out our store and buy yourself some of that sweet Massonomics gear. Okay, we're live here on Massonomics Podcast. We're back for episode 2. Today, we're just kind of going to discuss us, I suppose. No real defined topic. I'm Tyler. To my left here is Tanner.
This is me, Podcast Land.
And across the way is Tommy.
Hello, everyone.
All right. So today, we're just going to kind of bring you guys up to speed with who we are. Last time, we talked about the gym, and you probably got a little bit of overview on us from that. But today, we're just going to kind of talk about where we are with our training and what we're trying to do. Me, a little bit of background. You heard some of this last episode, but I've been basically off the couch for about a year. It's about a year today. Before that, I really did not do much. So, you know, I'm kind of new to all this. These guys have a little bit more experience than I do. So we're kind of trying to tap some of that knowledge for you. Tanner, you've been doing this a lot longer than I have. What's your background as far as strength training?
Well, I guess I've probably been lifting for about 10 years, but when people ask me that question, I don't really like to say 10 years because it seems like it's a never-ending developing thing of thinking that I'm doing better than I was before. Mm-hmm. So 10 years ago when I started, I was a complete idiot, and you know, I would say nothing that I was doing then makes any sense to what I believe now, but I would say within the last 5 years, I've been doing some pretty good training, pretty serious training, and I've been on the right page. Still improving since then, but, you know, I power lift competitively now. I've done 3 powerlifting meets. My last couple were in February and March of this year, and I've done some strongman competitions, a few of those locally, and then some Celtic Fair games. So that's kind of what I train for. That's a little bit about it, or I guess the 10,000 foot view.
So you're kind of our resident, like, legit big strong guy, though. Like, when I first saw you through some of our, you know, Facebook stuff before I got involved here, you know, the numbers that really you guys out of your gym were putting up were pretty big. But Tanner specifically, you know, with me only having trained for a year, there was a lot of me going, what the fuck, you know, like, so it was pretty impressive. That's kind of a lot of what brought me to. And what about you, Tommy? How long have you been in the game, so to speak?
I would say I've been training in more of a just all-around powerlifting type way for probably about 4 years now. Before that, I think I kind of had the basic experience that everyone has in high school, which, I, you know, however you want to equate that, it's not the most valuable experience.
Right.
And then through college, just with some friends in the name of staying active, we spent some time, you know, lifting weights, but that mainly consisted of benching and then maybe getting a squat workout in every so often. So it was nothing too serious there. And then slowly, you know, getting used to the 8-to-5 job life, you realize you need to get something active going. And I started spending more. I started going to the Y. I was fortunate enough to have a roommate in college that powerlifted, so that kind of provided the template for me, at least for something to follow, having no idea what I was getting myself into. And so I kind of followed that loosely for a couple of years, and then I would say starting about 2 years ago is when I got a little more serious with attempting to, you know, really, really improve and taking a more analytical approach to certain things.
Excellent. Excellent. So basically all of us had that thing where for the longest time we avoided leg day like the plague.
Right, right. That's the worst thing. You can't think of anything doing worse. And then you develop to a point where you look forward to it more often than you don't. You realize that's the important thing. That's the big part of it.
You know, and like when I started, I was totally green. You know, in high school, I was fairly athletic, but I didn't train, so to speak. So I would show up and do like some weight room stuff, but I really didn't do anything like the way you were supposed to. You know, I'd show up and it said a bunch of stuff, and I would do maybe 2/3 of it till it got hard, and then that was really all I did. And so then after however many years pass, and, you know, you get old, you got kids, you got a job, you get fat, and I had to do something. So I did it all through CrossFit is where I kind of got into that strength training stuff. And that was one of those things where I couldn't, it felt like every damn day was leg day, you know, for me for the longest time until you get used to it. and you kind of learn an appreciation for it. But where I've been at right now is I've kind of been at this point where I'm not, with the frequency in which we're training, I'm not getting much stronger. You know, it seems like I've lost a lot of weight, which probably isn't helping, but it seems like anytime I get above that 80, 90% range, I really, like, you know, your body just responds totally different to those weights. Mm-hmm. And if you want to get stronger, you got to train, you know, really up in the top. You know, you got to train up in there. And that's one thing I've learned, but in practice, man, that's fucking hard. Mm-hmm. You know, I get that, you know, you get 375, 400 pounds on you, and that's one thing I learned with trying to go heavy is there's still an awful lot of quit in me. You know, you got to get over that, I guess.
Yeah, a lot of it, I don't know if it comes down to your strength or your, you know, muscle capacity, but like we've got some guys too where it's just a matter of getting used to that feeling of grinding through a heavy squat or grinding, you know, not with poor form, but just like literally where you're like, well, I'm not going to give up. If I just keep pushing here, I can finish out this rep, or, you know.
Yeah, and I think it is a different mindset too, the idea of, you know, grinding out five reps or eight reps across however many sets versus just getting ready to just take care of it for one.
Yeah.
You know, you get sometimes in the higher reps, you just get so used to, okay, this next one's going to suck, this next one's going to suck, or you do the one and it's tough, but it's not that same endurance. Yeah, you're done. Exactly. It's not that same endurance thing, so it's just figuring out how to just go all in on that one rep.
And that's a thing too that I've run into a lot is I'll get to these, you know, when your working sets get heavy, you want to push it, you need some volume and some heavy weight, and I'll get to that and you get under it and one, then two, then three, and then, you know, you feel like you're gonna pass out, you know, waiting for the damn belt to pop off me, you know. And that's when the training counts, you know, I think, and that's where I got to work on. That's for sure. So what about you guys, you know, as far as, I guess for me, it's squatting is really what I've been talking about with this, as far as going heavy. Deadlifts are kind of the same thing too. Bench is always fun to go heavy. I think, I don't think anybody really minds grinding out that stuff. It feels like it beats you up, but it's kind of fun, you know, but
Yeah. Just that's funny that you say that too, because as we're talking about it, everything I'm picturing is a squat. You know, when you're talking about going heavy and grinding through it, I'm just automatically think about a squat. I'm not thinking about going through a heavy bench press rep or something like that. It's just because that's where the biggest battle is at.
I think so. Yeah. So yeah, I don't really have a solution on it. It's just one of those things where it's like, you know, Joe Rogan says, you just got to defeat your inner bitch every day. You know,
some days are always going to be worse than others. I think everyone can attest to that too.
Yeah, definitely. So what about you guys as far as any, you know, any other recent like struggles, frustrations, injuries, things you're working through or working on, anything like that, Tanner?
Well, I guess what I'm just kind of doing right now is Tommy's similar too, and quite a few of us are. We're on a similar annual schedule almost now, where we do powerlifting in the latter end of winter there, you know, kind of that January, February, March time frame. That's when we're trying to compete, you know, regardless of what exact meet or meets we do, that's kind of when we're shooting for. So we all try to peak for strength around that time, but we'll build up for that for, say, you know, 6 months, where it's just like constant, almost a little bit grueling, monotonous training where you're just trying to push that heavier weight and push your barrier, be better than you were before or better than you were last year. And that takes a toll at a certain point, you know, either physically or mentally, or usually a combination of both, I would say. So we're kind of just over that right now. And we're into that, kind of that duller period, and
almost off season, if you want to refer to it as having a season,
right? If we can make it sound that powerlifting that legitimate that we have like an on and off, we're off season right now. That'd be a good way to say it. And so with what I do with off season, and you know, I think we all generally do the same ideas, try to spice it up a little bit or make it more interesting somehow or more fun, just so you can. Otherwise, if you go in, we don't have that meet to look forward to. It's not like, oh, 2 months, we're going to be at that meet. You know, I got to work that squat. You know, I just got to do it. It's coming up in 2 months. You know, now it's like, well, we're not doing that for 10 months. So I can't just
kill mentally, yourself every day.
Yeah. So I'm trying to do, you know, I guess I just do different variations, or I do similar programming, but maybe not quite as rigid in a structure as I would be before. And then also do some other exercises that I wouldn't do before. You know, for example, we have that makeshift bamboo bar at our gym. So I was overhead pressing yesterday on that bamboo bar.
Which is a blast.
Yeah. which that's, and it's fun because it's not like I know that I should be pressing 200 pounds with a bamboo bar. You know what? I don't have this figure in my head
that
I know.
Beginner mentality. Start at the beginning, learn and see where this takes you. Yeah. What is this about?
Yeah, for sure. So that's kind of my general view, is just doing some different things and just keeping it fun. You know, right now, I mean, still, you know, I never want to get weaker or get smaller.
I think the focus, you know, being in kind of a similar situation as you,
the
focus is still always on bench, squat, deadlift.
Yeah.
It's just kind of, you know, maybe we are switching up the rep scheme or maybe the intensity on it. And then the big one would be on the assistance exercises. Trying some different things, hitting things you've never done before, just trying to feel some things out and experiment a little bit.
Yep. And I'd say generally I stay more away from like the one rep max. Like I won't do hardly a one rep max of most lifts for quite a while now. You know, I mean, I suppose you could get a wild hair sometime and just feel like it. But for the most part, I save that until prepping for those meets coming up.
Right now, you're just trying to maintain, gradually continue to build strength, and I suppose just do it sustainably, you know, because that's going to be the key over this long haul. Is you got basically an 8-month off season for the most part, where you have to gradually keep pushing that rock uphill, and if you are pushing too hard, you know, you fuck up and tear something or you get hurt.
Roll halfway back down.
Exactly. And then you can be set back. And the nice thing too is you throw in those kind of fun little accessory exercises and it keeps it interesting, makes you want to go in. You know, little things too, like, you know, bench pressing with the bamboo, overhead with the bamboo stuff, or even doing some banded squats, just focusing on speed, technique, that type of stuff is
the other
is
day
fun.
We were doing floor presses, which I'd never done before
that's
for bench,
another, yep,
which
that's
is, you know, kind
example.
Of working that lockout a little more, and that was, you know, we were just doing sets of 185, but it's, hey, this is different, this is weird, it is kind of an unusual thing.
And when you switch those things up too, like you said before, the ego thing totally goes away, because there you are with, you know, 185 pounds on the bench, and you're just trying to do it. You know, when I first got my setup in the garage, I didn't have a bench to even lay on, so that was just how I had to do bench. just a man on the pavement. But you know, it's a fun little different way to do it. You can kind of work some different things, and it keeps you moving. So, the next point I was going to talk about was competing. What is how does competing fall in with kind of what you guys want to do or are trying to do? I know you guys you said you try to compete pretty consistently. You know, how did you get started competing? What made you want to compete?
Do you want to go first or do you want me to?
So I don't have as much, I guess, my experience in competing in these strength sports is somewhat limited. And the fact that I've done 2 powerlifting meets and a Celtic Games now, which the Celtic Games was more or less just people saying, hey, let's go do this, and you know, you're with the homies, so let's make an afternoon of it and have some fun, and that was a good time. There was almost no training that went into that, other than that we had been lifting weights previously, so that was a total new experience. But as far as the powerlifting thing goes, I guess just kind of, you know, looking around online and knowing people that had done meets before, I had, once you start to lift a little more, it's like, hey, this would be something that would be cool to do. And I don't know if I would ever have the initiative to just want to completely do it on my own. It is, you know, after doing 2, it is huge to have people you're going with, or at least someone there that can maybe mentor you or walk you through the steps. So I know, I think it was a year and a half ago last November, I think Tanner actually had said something about, hey, a few of us are thinking about doing a powerlifting meet. Would you be interested? And my response was basically, I mean, if we got people to do this, I'm on board. Yeah, it'd be cool. I don't really care. I know I'm not going to be breaking any records or doing anything completely amazing, but it gives you that sense of accomplishment and something to kind of have goals for as training goes. Otherwise, you're just kind of up lifting every day and hoping you're getting stronger. So that was, I guess, how I kind of got into it. And you do it once, and, you know, doing it the first time, it's like, this is completely nerve-wracking walking out in front of a gym and lifting in front of a ton of people and knowing you could just, I don't know what could go wrong, but that's the thing. You don't know what could go wrong.
Yeah.
And you do it once. And after you do that, it's like, hey, this is a rush. This is pretty fun. Like this is good. And you know, now after doing this second one, going into the second one this last March versus the first one, it's a completely different thing. Whereas the first one, you had all these nerves of just how does the meet go? I don't know how the timing works. I don't know who's going to be. I don't know anything.
Yeah.
And to have that kind of variable taken out and knowing that you've done it before, it just makes it, I think, that much more fun.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah, I guess mine's pretty similar. You know, the first powerlifting meet I did was the first one that you did as well. Before that, I guess the first strongman thing I did was at the state fair, South Dakota State Fair. And that was about 4 years ago. So that kind of got me into the, I guess most of us, or a lot of the guys that lift, they probably played some high school sports, you know, play football or basketball or wrestle, you know, a lot of that stuff. And it gets you back, like you talked about, that adrenaline rush or just that feeling like, oh, I'm competing in something. Like I'm, I'm out here doing it now. Like you got to perform when it's like that. And, so that strongman thing, doing even just those little, that little competition, it gets you back in that mindset. And then we've got a few guys that we've lifted with or that I've lifted with for a long time that have done meets before. And it's always been a thought, but it's just like, people that don't want to do it now. If you go through that same thing that I went through where you're like, I don't know if I'm strong enough yet. You know, I'd rather be stronger when I do my first one. I don't want to go out there and, look like a pussy and, have everyone be like, geez, that guy looks big, but not very strong, but just going out there and doing it. And just like you said, having all those other people doing it, I think we had about six of us from, our group that went and did that together. That just makes it so much more fun.
It does. You know? And I couldn't imagine now after going with a group of, kind of close friends. It is like kind of a team thing. It feels like,
I mean, can you imagine going by yourself, just being on an island, not knowing
when do you go,
what do you do?
Yeah.
I mean, it might still be fun.
Yeah, I can see competing at a national level or something. You know, it's big. You really are in the big leagues.
Yeah.
In just this smaller state thing that we really are just doing it strictly for the fun of it.
Yep.
You're going with your friends and you kind of know what everyone's lifts are. And so, when a really big one is coming up for them or if it's a PR and you get just as amped for it as they do.
Yeah. After, lifting with so many people that have done it for the first time or now maybe done a second or third meet, my advice to everyone is just that if you're thinking about even possibly wanting to do it in the future, just do one now.
Exactly.
Because you learn so much just from actually doing it and you get that base level set that you're like, well, I know I did this now, maybe I'm not as strong as I wish I was, but I know that I can squat 400 pounds and bench 300 pounds and deadlift 400 pounds. And now next year, if I could just do 20 pounds more of each of those, then you have your goal there and something to shoot for.
And that's one of the things that I've read about lately too, is they talk about, in powerlifting and in Olympic weightlifting, really in anything, is that if you think you want to compete, just compete, because don't wait until you're good enough. Because part of competing and being good at competing isn't in being able to move the weight in a gym. It really is in being able to move the weight in competition. And that's what they always say is, don't wait till your maxes get higher. Don't wait till you are strong enough to podium or get yourself a medal, get your ass out there and compete now, and it's kind of the old saying, a man will die for points, but it does. I believe it probably would keep you moving in your training. I think that would be really important. And, like anything else, Tanner, we had talked about this before, is that nobody cares what Michael Jordan's highest scoring practice was.
That's what I was just thinking about that conversation too.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's the numbers that happen in a game, in competition, when you're going against somebody, that's the stuff that counts. That's the man making moments. That's the stuff that's important.
It is funny in powerlifting though. It all, like through social media, it almost becomes like some people are just, and I'm talking, as far as we're concerned, relatively famous people, that they're almost like Instagram lifters, they're doing their lifts for Instagram.
Yeah.
But I think there's something to be said about the competition aspect, just what you're saying. It's just different.
Because once you get past that social media level, when these people are competing nationally or internationally, The only numbers that counts is that the competition PRs are the only PRs that matter. Yep. And it's kind of interesting. But, you know, really in any other sport, it's that way. You don't, you know, in basketball, you know, you don't just play basketball in your driveway. Around, you know, in this town we live in here, there's a huge city league basketball league here. And there's old guys playing, and they don't, I don't know, why aren't they content to just sit in their driveway and bounce a ball and shoot it in the hoop? Because you should just compete, you know?
Yep.
You know, that little bit of competition, I think that's what separated us from the monkeys to begin with.
So, yep, for sure.
Yep. So I think that's important. I think that's an interesting thing that you guys do. You know, where we're at here, there really isn't a lot of competitions in this area. And I don't know that there's a lot of people outside of your gym in this area that train for competitions, are there?
Not a lot. So, I mean, it's growing. I honestly, you know, even with the small size of our gym now, it's without a doubt helping grow that locally, you know? Because, like you said, I mean, if we weren't doing it, there wouldn't be a lot of people doing it. I mean, even this year at the state powerlifting meet, numbers were actually down for whatever reason. You know, that's another topic probably, but we made up a decent percentage of the people there competing, you know, from our tiny little gym, you know, in Aberdeen. But I don't know. There's probably not a lot of it outside of what we're doing, but I'd like it to get more. You know, the more the merrier. It makes it that much more fun for all of us.
Well, and like we talked about last episode about the gym and everything, you know, it's one of those things where it's all growing and will grow. And I think it's headed the right direction. That's for sure.
Yep.
It's really neat, you know, that because you go to gyms, you just go to your regular global gym and that type of stuff, and it works for a lot of people. But what I've noticed, and you know, we talked about this last episode as well, like the key really is that you can get so far going to a gym, but you're not going to really go to that next level unless you find a way to really be a part of the gym, be a part of the community, because that's where you're going to get help. People are going to pull you along, and I think that's really important.
And that's what I was kind of talking about Tanner about, I think, a few days ago, is, you know, I think with Massanom was kind of gaining some momentum, or whatever small momentum we feel like we have. I guess kind of the thing that I see that we have is we have that attitude and environment. And it just, anybody can throw some money together and set up a gym, all this, but you know, we have adequate equipment, but really what does make it happen is all the people around. And when you get a group of kind of people with the same mindset that really are cheering each other on, want to see everyone do good, that's when it really is amazing in the 6 months we've had it, how much we've had people progress, and even people brand new to it just take a liking to it and really get something done.
Right. Yeah, and I agree completely.
You guys absolutely. Yeah. No, it's been really interesting for me kind of watching from outside for the last little bit too, you know, cuz that's something that was really foreign. It was really foreign to me to see, you know, there wasn't a lot of that going on. I'd come across you guys on Facebook and seen some of those things, and you know, it's real neat. Mm-hmm. You know, from CrossFit kind of introduced me to that just concept of and getting, I think, strong. You know,
that is the thing it's that CrossFit has. Same is they thing, they yeah. do have that
community. Yeah, exactly.
You know, there's
yeah.
thousands of gyms everywhere, but what makes CrossFit so successful is the fact that it's, you know, everyone that joins it, it's like the cult thing. It's they live, breathe it, and they're all about it.
Exactly. And you know, that thing where you're not there on your own with your headphones in.
Yep.
You know, it's tough to get some real work done when you're just there and you maybe don't know what you're supposed to be doing or what you should be doing. And you throw a set of earbuds in. You're definitely not encouraging anybody to help you. That's for sure.
Yep.
It's been really interesting to watch the gym grow, the social media presence grow, and it's been I think there's some pretty cool things coming up around the corner. So, basically, that's going to do it for us for this episode. Same as always, if you need to get a hold of us, you can hit us up on Instagram or Twitter at Massanomics.
or Assonomics. You might find something different with that. I'm not sure if that's
we're gonna trademark that for sure.
We got
the next
put the ass.
Also hit us up on Facebook, like the Facebook page, and go ahead and check out Massanomics.com with an M. Check out our store, buy yourself some sweet gear. Anything else, guys?
No, that was that That's pretty good. That's
That'll do it. You can find us. You can find us personally on Instagram. I am at Tyler F and Stone. That's Tyler E F F I N Stone. And you can find Tanner.
You just have to check me out at Massonomics. I got a lot of people, a lot of videos of guys lifting at the gym, so you can kind of keep tabs on a little bit of everyone, what's going on around there.
And Tommy, how do we get a hold of you on the Instagrams?
Instagram, I am at Tomahawk underscore D. That's underscore D-E-E.
Nice. Ooh. All right. Thanks, everybody. Have a good day and stay strong.
You just heard the Massonomics podcast. With your ears, you're welcome. Check us out on Facebook, find us on Instagram at Massonomics, and make sure you visit Massonomics.com and buy some of that sweet Massonomics gear. From your friends at Massonomics Studio, home of the world's strongest podcast, stay strong.